Hey, this is Lori from Hike, sharing stories that inspire us to explore, wander, and live. I gotta say, I am so excited to bring you this interview today that I did with Benny Braden, trail name Plug It In. He was one of my first guests on this podcast way back at the end of 2018. And I, you know, if you want to know more about his backstory, I definitely encourage you to go listen to season 1, episode 3. And in this episode, we get to catch up, and it's great to hear what he's been up to learn more about Reboot Recovery and the impact that's made on his life. And we get to talk about the Highline film. So it was just, had finished filming a few months before our first conversation, and now it's ready to be released. World premiere is happening. So take a listen and let's catch up with Plug It In and learn more about hiking, healing, and the Highline film. So I am here with Benny Braden, also known as Plug It In. And for those of you who are longtime listeners, you will recognize that I actually had him on early in season 1. So welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited to have you back. You're actually the first person who's a repeat. So you're my first return guest.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I know. And then also, you know, the bit of trivia is that even though you weren't my first episode, you were my first interview for the podcast. So so that's, I feel pretty special about that as well. So thank you so much.
This just seems natural.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot to catch up on. And I know what I really do want to talk to you about is, you know, back when, you know, we first chatted, you had come off you went to Highline Trail, and you know, there was going to be a movie about it. And I actually even talked to Chris Smead from Mount Mercer Films. Mm-hmm. And so it's time, right? It's
time.
Yes. So it's coming. So, you know, why don't we just go ahead though first, and maybe, you know, for those people who haven't, you know, listened to the episode with you before, don't know who you are, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and kind of some of the major hikes you've been on?
Well, for starters, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a father, am a PTSD survivor. I prefer to call it PTS. I've kind of dropped the D side of it. Nobody likes being labeled with a disorder. And technically it's an injury, not a disorder. But so that's going well. As of the time that we are speaking, I am 98 days since my last PTS episode, which is phenomenal. And, you know, I love to hike. I've found that hiking helps me deal with the stress that kind of piles up and builds up and kind of contributes to that PTS. And I just kind of stumbled across that by accident, honestly. And, you know, kind of long story short, you know, of course, I set a couple FKT records in the Smokies back in 2017. I am currently considering it for this year as well to break that record. There's some things that have to fall into place first before I can do that. Just different circumstances in my life have changed. But yeah, so now Highline is about to be released. I'll actually fly out to Utah on the 23rd of January for the premiere.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then once we do the premiere out there, we'll do it in Vernal, Utah on the 24th. On the 25th, there's a showing in Salt Lake City, so we'll do another showing while we're out there, just try to get the most bang for our buck. As soon as I get back, I'll start the Tennessee tour, basically, and that's what I'm basically calling it, is a Tennessee Highline tour. We'll kick that off with a Tennessee premiere at Central Cinema in Knoxville on February 1st at 1 o'clock. And right now, I think, honestly, I think there might be 3 tickets left.
Oh, wow.
If that, it's basically sold out. And I announced it Friday night.
Shoot. So by the time this
and
comes out, it will probably be
it
sold
will
out for
definitely
sure.
no doubt be sold out. But there's good news. We're going to be doing many more showings in the Knoxville area. And actually Tennessee. I'm working with the REI pretty closely to get some showings in the REI in Knoxville, do at least a couple that first week somewhere in that neighborhood. And already on the 7th, I'll be going out to Brentwood, out towards Nashville. The REI out there is going to be showing it. And we're just, you know, we've got a couple different showings. Like there's one here, our local rescue squad, a department that I was a member with for quite a few years that I'm showing just for them. And then probably the next day after that, we'll do a showing for the public. But the admission will be a donation to the rescue squad. So anything, especially here in Tennessee, anytime we're showing the movie, if there's a ticket price, 100% of those proceeds will go to a nonprofit, or whether it's a trail maintenance organization or like Reboot Recovery. For the premiere, the Tennessee premiere over at Central Cinema in Knoxville, 100% of those proceeds are going to go between Reboot Recovery, an organization that assists veterans, first responders, and their families that are struggling with PTS. And it helps them just kind of figure out ways to just kind of cope with that and manage through that under a 12-week program that is faith-based. And then the rest of that money, we're going to split that right down the middle. The rest of it is going to Friends of the Smokies. So it's going to go.
That's one of my favorite groups.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, our Smokies doesn't get the funding that the other parks do simply because it's a free national park. They don't charge for entrance. They don't charge for parking or anything of that nature. So their funding is extremely limited. But if it wasn't for Friends of the Smokies, there would be certain trail projects that would never get done, certain maintenance projects that would never get done. So those people are just doing phenomenal work there inside the park.
So the movie itself, from, you know, from the basics of understanding, it's following five of you through the Uinta Highline Trail. So tell me, I guess, first, what is the Uinta Highline Trail, just for someone who, you know, where is it located and what's kind of the geography basics, just some, you know, facts about it.
Well, of course, the Uinta Highline Trail is located right in the Uinta Mountains. The Uinta Mountains are essentially northeast, if I'm trying to figure out my directions here, northeast of Salt Lake City. Up there in the corner of Utah, the Uinta Mountains are just so majestic and beautiful. And in fact, the tallest point in the state of Utah is in the Uinta Mountains at King's Peak, right there at Anderson Pass. And the trail goes right over that pass. So as we hiked over, we got to climb King's Peak, which is almost like a hand-over-hand climb. It can get pretty sketchy there a little bit. But the Uinta Mountains and the Highline Trail was really kind of like an unsung hero whenever it came to expansion to the west. You know, there were only so many routes going west that settlers could take. And going through the Uinta Mountains was one of the lesser known trails that people could take to migrate west, to expand and see what was out there in that territory. And there's so many things out there, a lot of just rich history with the natives and with the Native Americans, and you have so many fossils and just geological history there. It's phenomenal. I mean,
about it's how incredible. Long? Is the hike, is it a couple hundred miles? Is it?
Nope. The hike is roughly around 100 miles long.
Okay, 100 miles.
Yeah, technically about 103 miles to be exact. Or whenever we hiked it, that's what the GPS route for it was at the time. And anybody that's planning on doing this hike, I would highly recommend to download the GPX file for that hike. With it being a lesser known trail, one that too many people aren't hiking, it's kind of tough to stay on trail at times. there's a few spots that it'd be very easy to get lost. You know, you see rock cairns piled up in different locations to mark the trail, and that's really the main way they mark that trail, because you go through these large prairies and they're just wide open as you go over these passes. Some, I mean, you're above tree line on a good part of it. And some of these rock cairns are taller than a doorway. Like
Wow.
if you were to open up a door and go, it'd be like squared up, but as tall as a door, and they're just phenomenally beautiful.
So you said that a lot of it is above tree line. So, like, what was the weather like? Were you ever kind of at risk of storms or in the way of bad weather when you were out hiking?
Yeah, actually, we were on the side of Leedy Peak, and we were just kind of, kind of killing a little bit of time, shooting some video, and Chris was doing his thing. And I could see some dark clouds coming, and I could hear some thunder out in the distance, but it wasn't nothing like that bothered us. I mean, we were definitely above tree line. And just out of the blue, it just the sky turned dark immediately, and it dropped lightning down pretty close to us. And some of the guys took off running for the tree line. As me and Joe and Matt, we decided, nope, we're just going to keep pushing forward. And so we just kept walking forward on the side of this mountain, running parallel with it, above tree line. And we were getting hit with hail pretty good. It's about nickel size hail. One thing about whenever you're hiking up in such high elevations, sometimes when the storm moves in, it's more likely to hail than it is to rain. And it seems like, or at least that's been my experiences, whether I'm in the Sierra Nevada Mountains or in the Uintas, it just seems like it starts hailing first, then it'll turn to rain later if there's anything left in it. But yeah, it was coming down really bad, and I just happened to have my GoPro running, and actually they used some of that footage inside Highline. I turned my GoPro around to kind of catch me, because I was convinced I was about to die, and I figured, okay, if I die,
There's video.
I want proof. I want to show everybody how it happened. This way, there's no legend of how I went out or anything like that. It's all documented. So I turned my camera around. About the same time I turned my camera around, a bolt of lightning struck right behind us, within like probably 50 yards or so. And it was simultaneously like the lightning and the thunder are all at the same time. And that tells you that it's like on top of
That
you.
storm is right
There
there
is,
on you.
yeah, there's no seconds or nothing in between the boat itself. And Chris didn't like change that sound on that or nothing. It was like all raw right there. And as soon as I turned it, a lightning bolt struck behind me, but it looked like it struck me in the head. Because the same time that it struck, and the thunder cracked, I kind of like flinched a little bit. You just weren't expecting that. And so it kind of looks like I got struck in the head by lightning. So that's the story. And I'm going to tell everybody else got struck in the head by lightning and I kept hiking.
That's
It
one tough hiker. That's what they're
didn't
gonna say. So,
faze me.
now I can't wait to see that in the movie. So I'm hoping one of these days I'll get to see it as well. And so, how did Chris propose doing the filming to you? Like, how did you guys even figure out that, hey, we're gonna go hiking and we're gonna make a movie out of it too?
Well, it actually started out something being really tiny. I mean, it was just going to be like a 20-minute little documentary. Both Matt and Chris had been, actually, they probably started talking about it in 2017, maybe even before that. And it just kind of got tossed around on the board. They're just figuring this out and this out. Next thing you know, it was going to be an hour and a half or an hour long. And then it was going to be an hour and a half. And now it's almost 2 hours long. And before we knew it, it started out as being just like a couple guys, and next thing you know, it's five guys. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. We're having to have someone resupply us because it's so remote. And it's just one of those things that it evolved as it went on. And then as it went on, the idea to share stories became more evident that, okay, all of us are out here hiking for different reasons. whether it's Matt or Will or Joe or Steve, I mean, we all have our different reasons of why we hike. And in Highline, we get to share our personal stories. And it's kind of neat the way Chris kind of laid everything out, because as you're watching the story, each person's story is getting more and more dramatic. So once it leaves Joe, it goes to like Will, and then from Will to Matt, from Matt to Steve, and then from Steve to me. And it's like the more stories that go on, the more intense, the more dramatic the story is.
Now, how did you feel about sharing your story to the world?
It wasn't too big of a thing at the time. I mean, I've always been a little bit open about my story. I feel like there's power in it that can help others. And I've always took the mindset of, okay, if it helps one person, if it helps one EMT or one firefighter or one police officer or deputy or even a service member, if it helps any of them, just one person, then it's worth telling the story. And I've had some people reach out to me as I've shared my story on my website or on my social media, you know, that said, hey, thank you for posting this. I had one guy tell me that, hey, I was going to kill myself the next morning. I was going to kill myself this morning. I just happened to scroll Facebook and just seen your story and just started reading it. And that was it. That's what kept me from doing it. And you're talking about just grabbing you by every ounce of your being and just saying, you know, I just started shaking, you know, and actually I wanted to go throw up, but I wasn't near a toilet to do that. But, you know, it just, that made it worth it. That made it worth it, knowing that one life was saved.
Yeah, that pretty much, you know, it shows the impact that all of us can have on others. And
as far as sharing it on the national stage, I feel like I've already been doing that with my social media. I've not really kind of held back on that. And each time I kind of share, I share another piece of it, and then another piece of it, then another piece of it. And my story's not done yet. Probably this summer I'll share even more of my story that's evolved in this past January and December. And I'll share more of that then, because, you know, not only just hiking, discovering Reboot Recovery, that's kind of filled in that missing link that I had, because, you know, like this past year, I had a leg injury, knee injury that kept me off trail for most of the year. And my PTS was as rough as it's ever been. I mean, it was like horribly bad. And I discovered Reboot Recovery, and it kind of filled in. Where hiking couldn't at the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because, you know, you've been very open about needing hiking to help you heal, and kind of that power in it of that, you know, it's the vessel of being outdoors and being in nature. And so when you were injured and sidelined, you said Reboot Recovery was that helper for you.
Yes. Yes, no doubt about it. And honestly, I came across Reboot by accident. A good friend of mine, Brian Ford up in Pennsylvania, has put together a hike on the LHXT. I think that's the letters for that trail. But anyways, it's to raise money for Reboot Recovery and Mission 22. And he reached out to me, and he knew about my story and asked if I would be a part of it. And I told him I'd love to. But I didn't know what Reboot was. So I started researching and got in contact with my local Reboot people. And then, so I started going to that class, and I had no intentions on finishing because I was going to do my 900 miler. But unfortunately, I hurt my knee in that process, and I wasn't able to do the hike. So I finished the class, and I had no idea what kind of impact just finishing that class would have done to me. And now I've finished the second class. It's not really a class, it's a course, but I've graduated from the second course, and now I'm going to like a leadership course where I'll be an instructor for it. and it's just taking that next step. I've actually met with the owners of Reboot and the founders. Phenomenal people, Owen and Jeannie, Evan and Jeannie Owens, and they're just good people. I can't say enough about them.
Tell the listeners just a little bit about what the mission is of the program, just so people get a better understanding.
Yeah, for Reboot Recovery, the mission of the program is essentially they want to assist veterans, first responders, and their whole families in coping and kind of dealing with PTS, helping them navigate and helping them learn the ways to kind of channel things a little bit better, and maybe even help some of the members of the family understand what the other member is dealing with. Like, they have different programs, one set up just for combat for military veterans. It's called Combat Recovery. And then they have another one set up just for first responders, EMT, law enforcement, rescue, firefighters, all set up under Reboot First Responders. And in these classes, whenever you go, it's a 12-week course. It's faith-based. And you go in there and they feed you like food. Every time you go, there'll be a free meal. There's free child care. The class is free. It doesn't cost a participant a single penny. And that's one of the phenomenal things about this course is that every week they're taking care of you. They're loving on you. They're giving you the support you need, and they're just there for the whole family. And there's a lot of times that wives don't understand what their husbands are dealing with, especially in the first responder field, because the first responders, we typically don't talk about some of the scenes that we run and been on and some of the traumatic situations that we've been in and witnessed. We typically don't talk to our spouses about that. We don't talk to anybody about it. And that's been one of the problems with first responders. And it really creates a problem in the marriage, and Reboot is restoring marriages and healing wounds, and it's just phenomenal, you know, the work that they're doing.
So do you feel like in combination with the hiking that you're doing and now with this Reboot Recovery program that this has really been able to improve then your post-traumatic stress?
Absolutely. No question about it. No question about it. I mean, like I said, I'm day 98. Some people kind of think it's kind of odd that I'm actually counting. But to me, it's a victory. Each day is a victory. So I want to count that day. And I want to rejoice in it. I want to not only am I giving myself a pep talk every time I get to add another number to it, but I'm giving someone else a pep talk that they're like, hey, he's made it to day 98.
And
I want to get to that.
And does it also help you kind of understand, I guess, the triggers or the situations that may, you know, that may trigger an episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no doubt about it.
How to handle that.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that kind of help you. They help you realize the different forms of trauma that you've experienced, whether it's from somebody else or caused by yourself. They also kind of help you realize what your triggers are and what's the result of that. How does your PTS manifest itself? Is it manifested in anxiety or depression? Is it manifested in anger, physical abuse, verbal abuse, whatever it is, verbal anger? Do you have to go sit in solitude for hours or days on end to like calm down? I mean, for myself, my PTS manifested itself once I was triggered. I would get very angry. I would say things that I didn't mean, obviously. But my strategy was I had to say these things in order to be able to get out the door, because otherwise I wasn't being let out the door. And I wanted to leave so I could go sit in my truck, sleep in my truck for 24 to 48 hours. And for me, that I had to have that in order to calm down. If I was still in the middle of the argument or in the middle of the being triggered or whatever, it's almost like a claustrophobic kind of feeling. And all you can think about is like, I got to get out. I got to get out now. It's like fight or flight. And my thing was, I've got to get out of here and get somewhere where I can just start calming down.
So when I talk to people about stress and anxiety and, you know, different people who have talked to me about their own experiences, a lot of what I hear that it comes back to is just how nature helps us slow down and be present. Mm-hmm. And in that also it's allowing you, you know, to process those feelings. Yeah. And, you know, any of the issues that you might be facing. So how does hiking, though, a trail like Uinta with four other people, right? How can you, you know, I'm just curious of, you know, the difference between that kind of experience where it's a social experience, right? Versus, right. You know, your FKT of the Smokies where you were hiking at some points with other people, but I think a lot of it was alone, you know, and, yeah. And your own. So can you share just a little bit about the difference of the social aspect of hiking, you know, especially sure. with the four other guys?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the Smokies there was a completely different beast. I spent a lot of time on trail by myself. I'm not really trying to stop or anything like that to talk to people. I would try to every once in a while if I knew I had a little time built in. And I pretty much kept track of how fast I was going, you know, what time it was going to take me to get where I needed to go, how much time I had left, was I willing to hike in the dark, was I not, how tired was I. A lot of those different things played in the really played heavily into that, to whether I would stop and talk to you or not. With something like with the Uinta hike that I went on, where we got five guys, and actually we had seven guys. We had two guys filming. That wasn't bad. I mean, each guy has their own hiking speed and hiking pace. Obviously, with an unfamiliar trail, we kind of kept everybody within eyesight. We wouldn't allow someone to get out of eyesight just because it was so easy to kind of get turned around out there if you weren't paying attention. But we always camped together. And at night, you know, we would get to like share a meal together, cool down. We would take periodic breaks, you know, take breaks every once in a while to let everybody catch up and rest their legs, rest their feet, and all that, and get some food in them. So we kind of kept track of everybody, but we also had our time to ourselves on the trail too. And so that helped, you know, if you're just like what I do. I mean, whenever I'm on trail, I try to go through different situations I've been in, you know, mostly traumatic situations and things like that. And I just try to sort through those mentally and figure out where they need to be filed away at and come to peace with those things, things that just kind of haunt me every once in a while, and just kind of deal with those. And hopefully by the end of the day or whenever, I can put that file away where it belongs, and I can move on to the next one. And it doesn't always work out that simple and that easy, obviously, but it's a vital part, you know, to helping you kind of recover through that or use that as a way of peace. And it's just so peaceful out there. I mean, you're talking stress-free.
So the mountains, you know, when you come back from a stint like that, whether it's a couple weeks or a few days out on the trail like you did in the Uinta Highline Trail, does it take you a while to, I guess, process through of the whole experience? You know, I guess kind of thinking about when you look back now, mm-hmm. you know, months and months later versus when it was originally, you know, right after you got back, kind of, is there anything that you feel different about or that just surprised you, or, you know, you just, you know, now that you're able to kind of reflect more?
I mean, I really don't. I mean, it's been so long. I mean, we filmed Highline the summer of 2018, actually July, August, 2018. And that whole summer I had been hiking I started out in June through hiking the Long Trail. end to end. And then I came home for a couple of days and went out to do the JMT, the northbound JMT through hike, and then went straight from the JMT to Utah. So it was like 30 something days before I had actually got to go home from that stretch there. And I was just watching some videos because I'm editing some of my Uinta videos now. And I seen a clip where I was just laying in my tent, just talking about, you know, hey, I'm ready to go home. I miss home. I'm ready to go home. It's been 30 days or something like that, what I said there. And you look forward to going home whenever you're on these trips. I mean, you look forward to going on the trips, but once you're out there, you look forward to going home. And that's a good, that's good. That's healthy. And you should want to miss home. You should want to miss your family and miss your loved ones or your pet or whatever you're leaving behind at home. But it's also good to long to be out on the trail when you're home. It's like, man, I wish I could be out on the trail right now.
It's that competing force. You want to be out on the trail, and then when you get out there, you want to be also home. Back home. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a balance for sure.
It is. It's balance, and that's probably the best way to sum that up.
You mentioned as you were answering that you're putting together some videos. So tell me, I know obviously you said there was a couple people filming for the movie, but you were also had your GoPro. So you were doing some personal, you know, video as well. So what kinds of videos are you putting together?
Well, I've been dragging my feet just because I've had so much stuff going on, but, I think as far as my Uinta videos, I'm just planning on doing something kind of simple with it. Just kind of giving a behind the scenes, not necessarily like a trail vlog kind of video. I've slowly been getting away from that and doing something kind of more like my Scotland videos. I really like that. It just takes a lot of time to do those. So I haven't decided exactly what I'm doing with the Uinta videos yet, because I got to look and I got so much footage, and I just got to kind of cherry pick, see which ones I want to use and see if I want to just release one video, just as a highlight of the Uinta Highline. Since it's already documented in like great detail, I don't know that it's really necessary for me to go in and do a whole series, kind of like I did with the Bent Mackay or the JMT. I don't think that would necessarily be important, but and stuff, plus some of my stuff was actually used in the film itself, and so that makes it really cool.
That is cool. And so when you're putting together your videos, you said you know, not always just, you know, are vlogging it, it's, you know, sometimes more of a highlight or kind of a comprehensive look at the experience. What gives you the most, I guess, pleasure or kind of the good feeling inside of sharing that out with your followers? What are some of the things that you want to connect on?
Well, I think it gives them a chance to actually see what some of those areas are like. You know, they're so different than let's say the Smokies, a place that they normally see me in. So it's almost like I'm out of my natural habitat. So they get to see how I react, what I'm thinking, what's going through my head, different things like that. Whenever we're dealing with those kind of videos or those areas and things like that. So I love exploring new areas. I'm kind of like Matt. The older I get, I place more value on experiences. So I tend to want to travel more the older I get, and instead of like buying stuff. Because, I mean, you can just end up with a house full of stuff that you never used, but you were convinced that that would make you happy. And at the end of the day, it's just stuff. But I would rather have memories than stuff.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that comment as well. You know, you mentioned at the beginning about how people can, you know, some of the upcoming releases and showings, and not everything's all worked out yet. So how can people find out or follow along and be able to learn more about what's happening and as dates get solidified for some of the other showings?
Sure. Well, nationwide, if you're looking to find a showing of Highline nationwide, the best way to follow that is at highlinefilms.com. Chris has a link on there. You can just hit on there and it says get tickets. Click that button and it'll show you every spot where you can go and purchase a ticket to go see that film. For the Tennessee area, I'm kind of running the show on that a little bit, I guess. For me, I'm putting it on my social media, Plug It In Hikes. And I'll probably go ahead and put up a post or two on my Facebook page in addition to the Instagram, but I'll probably do the website too, that plugitinhikes.com. And I'll try to get a list of all the Tennessee showings on there, time and dates. And if there is a fee, and if there is a fee, what organization is benefiting from that fee? And so that's one of the cool things that we've kind of incorporated with the Tennessee showings is as many of them that we can, if there's a fee, making sure that that goes to a worthy cause. And it just lines up with my values, and it just works very well for me.
Were you able to get an advance look at it? Have you seen everything all the way through?
I have not seen the whole thing all the way through. I have seen bits and pieces of my story. So I have had a chance to process some of that, which was good. So this way I can just mentally prepare myself. Because, I mean, these are very powerful stories, especially whenever it comes to my story being the most dramatic in the film. They save it to the very end. It's that dramatic, and it's just that intense, and you're on edge, and I go into a little bit of detail on my story, a little more detail than what I've done in the past. So we're just trying to get that out there, but not be too graphic, you know. So it is a little bit on the edge. So that allows me to kind of being able to see a little bit of it helps me.
So what, if there's anything that you would say to sum up the experience of working on the project itself, what would you say?
Humbling. Mm-hmm. It's such a humbling opportunity to work on a project like Highline, to be able to share my story on a national stage. And to be free to share my story how I want to share it, whether I'm sharing a little bit of my faith or some of my experiences. And just a tremendous opportunity to be able to do that. And it's opened up a lot of doors just already, being able to, I'll be doing some collaborations with some other hikers and artists and different things like that. So that's going to be really cool. So you'll see a lot of stuff coming out.
All right. So anything that you can tease us with yet, or still in the works?
Some of the stuff's still in the works. Okay. I know I'll probably be doing an article for Outdoor Evolution. That's the organization that Darwin hosts and kind of leads, and that's his baby. And they are doing phenomenal job just in the hiker community to give the hikers the information that they actually need and to help them gather their information for their hikes and what they need, what will work for them and what may not work for them, and teaching them how to go through that process to pick those things so that they know what is best for them, and just a great information outlet. There's a few magazines that I cannot release yet.
Okay. But I'm sure if we follow
But there's some bigger magazines. Shortly. Yeah, there's some bigger magazines that's already reached out to me that are looking for interviews. And of course, here in the Knoxville area, we'll probably end up doing some interviews on some of the local affiliates, you know, the local ABC, NBC, CBS affiliates here, just to kind of promote the film a little bit as it starts touring here in Tennessee.
Well, I know that your story has touched many people and will continue to. And I think having it shown as part of Highline is going to just open more of that and be able to help you connect, you know, sharing your story, the, you know, your friends and your fellow hikers that went along with you. And I think some good things are going to really be coming out of this. So I'm excited for you, for Chris, and I'm excited to follow along, and I appreciate you sharing with me as well, and being so open with your experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and always love hearing all the interviews and all your guests. You've got an outstanding podcast.
Thank you. And I hope next time that I'm in the area that one of these days we can go have some coffee and go for a hike.
I would absolutely love that. Anytime you're in Tennessee, just give me a shout. You know how to get a hold of me.
All right. I will do that. Thanks again for listening today. If you want to learn more about Plug It In and the Highline film and what's happening, go ahead and you can go to my show notes for direct links, or go to highlinefilm.com, or you can go to plugitinhikes.com as the easiest ways to learn more about what's happening. If you enjoyed this episode, please go out, hit subscribe, go out to iTunes, leave me a 5-star rating, and let other people know about this podcast. That's the best way to grow the audience and to help me put out more episodes and content for all of you. You can find me at The Hike Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me hikepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, see you on the trail.